God is done. Having traditions can be a very good thing. But traditionalism is quite another matter. As we think about our Christmas word this morning, is the word traditions. Let me be careful to identify the difference. It is not tradition, per se, that's wrong. It's traditionalism. Let me seek to be really accurate about that today. The right kind of traditions give us deep roots, truth that we can count on in a day where everything seems kind of out for grabs. For example, believing in the authority of Scripture, or knowing and loving God in an intimate way, recognizing the Lordship of Jesus and committing ourselves to genuine encouragement of others. Those are great tradition teachings in the Word that we need. They're valuable absolutes that keep us from being entangled in relativism and shame. Paul made it clear when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught. And in spite of this, the fact, he says, are many people who have gone another trail and not according to the tradition of the Scripture and what it teaches. Paul understood what traditions were and why they were important. And please understand that I'm thinking of the bigger picture here for a moment, where truth is at stake. Not tiny little scenes of less importance where taste and custom are a matter of preference. That's what I would call traditionalism. That could not be so good. During the summer of our sabbatical, which is already about three years ago, when we were in Europe, we were studying the great reformers and having a wonderful, wonderful time studying the life of John Calvin and in his hometown and visiting his church, and learned while we were on that adventure that John Calvin always wore a hat to church, and because of that, it became a tradition that other members of the family and the church, everybody started wearing hats. And years later, they were still wearing hats, and in other churches in Europe, they began wearing hats because John Calvin wore a hat. It became a tradition. We do it because Pastor Calvin does it. Someone needed to say, why does John Calvin wear a hat? There were two reasons, he admits in his writings. One, where his family always had to sit before he went up, there was cold air coming through. He wore a hat. And right above that pew were pigeons that he wanted to protect himself from. So John Calvin wore a hat. Years later, nobody understood that or remembered anything about that. They said, can we just do it because we do it? And it's just our tradition. It's just the way it works. Tradition is often the living faith of those now dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of those still living. By traditionalism, of course, I'm referring to that attitude that resists change. It is holding to a custom or a behavior that is maintained just because we've always done it that way before. It is being suspicious, I think, of something new because it's new. It's finding security in the familiar, opposing whatever might threaten that. Sometimes it could be substituting a past system for the freedom and the freshness of the Holy Spirit. That is, being more concerned about keeping rigid rules than being open to creativity. Well, you know that in Jesus' day, traditionalism was synonymous with a group called the Pharisees. And you might remember a story that I'd like to tell you about in Luke chapter 5 this morning, where Matthew, who was also called Levi, was met with Jesus in a profound and amazing way. And our Lord Jesus came to him, and while he was doing his work as a tax collector, and said, Levi, you follow. And he did. It was the story of so many of those disciples. He did. He got up and he said, all right, I'm going to do that. I've been watching you and hearing you, and I want to go with you, Lord. I will follow you, and how about we'll have a reception party in my house tonight?
Check it.
He put on a party. Because of the occasion of leaving the work of the taxes and sitting at that desk and following Jesus, going after his new Lord, going with our Lord Jesus, no matter where he goes, I'm going there, come to my house, we'll make the evening a great celebration, and invited a whole bunch of people, including other tax people, and including a whole bunch of real, live sinners from the community. They all came over. Jesus came over. And the Pharisees, who were more interested in traditionalism than the truth of the Lord Jesus, and were always on his case, said, what are you and your disciples doing in a place like this? Why, there are sinners here. There are people here that you should not be associated with. And do you remember what our Lord, how he responded to them? Look, I was there because it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. They needed me. They wanted me. They wanted to spend time with me. I went there, and besides, I had a good time. Luke 5. That, of course, was one of many encounters Jesus had with these people who loved their traditionalism more than the truth. And in Matthew 15, verse 6, Jesus said, you men have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your traditions. Out with such bad traditions. Let me remind you of another story that occurred in the Old Testament with the people of the Israelites. Do you remember something about a bronze serpent? Remember that story? This is a great event as the people of Israel, I mean a million, maybe 2 million people wandering the desert and complaining. And not only did the leaders get sick of those complaints, God got sick of those complaints. And he said snakes among them. You remember that? And they were biting people. And finally, Moses pleaded for help. And God said, all right, put a bronze serpent on a pole and hold it way up high. And all the people that look up there and see that pole with that serpent on it will be healed. And they were. It's a great little event. Symbol, because it was used many times. In fact, it was really a beautiful thought from Jesus himself in the New Testament when he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so I too will be lifted up on the cross. John 3, 14 and 15. Jesus used that old symbol to picture himself. You'll see that sign all over town today. It's all over Valley View Hospital. It's at medical clinics everywhere. That picture is the symbol of the American Medical Association of a serpent wrapped around the pole as a place of healing, of hope. Most people have no idea what that little symbol means. You know what happened to that actual bronze serpent that Moses held up? Let me tell you. They started carrying it around with them everywhere they went, and it became a tradition to hold it up high, and everybody began to forget what that was all about. What was that story? But they'd hold it up, and they'd carry it with them all through the desert, everywhere they went, and 2 Kings 18:4 says, Hezekiah removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars, and he also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because for all those years, the sons of Israel had burned incense to it and given it a name. It had become a habit. It had become a tradition. In fact, it had become an idol, and they were looking at it and honoring it and worshiping to it, and with no idea what they were doing. What was that silly thing? Some traditions are good and some are bad. Remember that the good traditions are habits that remind us positively of God's past faithfulness. They are good as long as they don't become idols in our lives. They are good as long as we don't assume that everybody knows why we have that tradition when we don't remember anymore what that was all about. We need to remember that they can become good, positive events that will link our past with our future. You know, when it comes to Christmas, we have all sorts of traditions, don't we? We have good ones and we have bad ones. There are common traditions shared by many people in our society, probably most of us here in this community, like gift giving, Christmas trees, holiday music, and, well, it goes on and on. Many of those traditions, do you remember, do you know where they got started? Why do you do them? Well, they're fun. Okay. But what are they all about? What is the history of those things? You might be surprised to learn that one of them, the oldest tradition, is of hanging stockings on the chimney. Right? Do you have those stockings up? Yeah, we don't have those up. We have a bunch. We have four of them. They get those up on the, well, not the chimney. You do that? You build those stockings? Where in the world did that come from? Well, it dates from the days of Pastor Nicholas, a much-loved bishop in the 4th century. And in one of his many trips, St. Nicholas, yes, St. Nicholas, was visiting a particular city when he heard of a widower who had no money for his daughter's dowry. And wanting to be anonymous, he went to the home at night, reached through a window, and tossed a small bag of coins in a stocking that was hanging by the fireplace trying to dry. That's how that one got started. And his good deed was eventually found out. And after he died, a day was set apart on the church calendars of Europe to commemorate this man and that man. And that became a tradition. Some of you have carried on and you had no idea what that was all about. It's just kind of fun to stuff those hockey things. Open them up, that's all. Is it a good tradition? Most of our common Christmas traditions have interesting roots, just like that. Then there are a lot of personal traditions, those that are unique to your family, my family, and to our roots. I want to tell you briefly about just two common family traditions in our home and our family. The first one is this plate. Is this plate? You ever seen this? The red plate called "You Are Special Today." This plate we were given by Mona Beck a long, long time ago when our kids were tiny. They're not tiny anymore. But when they were small, here at Mountain View, Mona gave us this plate, and there was a beautiful note attached to it, which I will read, of what to do with this red plate. But to use it for our kids on their birthdays, on special days, set it out, and everybody else is so plain, they get to have a bright red plate, put food on, because you are special today. The red plate is the perfect way to acknowledge a family member's special triumphs, to celebrate a birthday, a reward, or a goal achieved. You are special today. When the red plate is used, any meal becomes a celebration honoring a special person, event, or deed. It is a visible reminder of love and esteem. Make it a tradition in your family. Unquote. So we did. When we would remember, pull this plate out and celebrate a really special day in the life of our kids or our family, we would use this plate. How wonderful now to set it out in the place settings around the table for Jesus, for Christmas. You are special today. Great tradition, I think. Family tradition is worthwhile. Let me tell you about one that I don't think so highly of. In our Swedish roots, we prepare a meal called the lutefisk. Lutefisk, oh, charity. It's lutefisk, and in our Swedish background, it's a wonderful occasion. Every family participates in this and uses this lutefisk, which is Swedish for live fish. Because of the way it's prepared, it is made from air-dried or salt-dried white fish, normally a cod, prepared in lye, believe it or not, and soaked with many treatments. The first treatment in Sweden is to soak that fish in cold water for 6 days, and then it is soaked in lye for 2 days. It will swell during the soaking and produce its famous jelly-like consistency. And to make the dish beautiful and edible, a final treatment of yet another 6 days soaking in cold, cold water will find it ready to be cooked for Christmas morning. Generously cover it with white gravy. Now, I tell you, this is not a family tradition that I particularly enjoy, but my wife does. In fact, she just bought how many pounds of the stuff? If you have any interest in, you know, tasting some lutefisk with my wife, she'll be glad. And to give you a taste of that, she will cover it. There will be potatoes. There will be this. And it's a beautiful and wonderful family tradition in our Swedish roots. My parents had it every year. Kathy's parents have it every year. They still do. They will, even in a nursing home, ask for lutefisk. Yes, they will. Because it isn't the fish, and it isn't the smell, it's the tradition. It's the tradition. It's the beauty of being something that is familiar of our past, that brings out the best in family history. Well, it's just a tradition. Some traditions are old-fashioned, and others are wacky. But all of them build memories and preserve the heritage of our values and families. So this year, how about you? You probably have a whole set of traditions as well. How about you creating a new one? Use them to your full advantage for your family and maybe start something new of your own. Just be sure that you know why you have these traditions. You know, when it comes to spiritual traditions in our lives, a bad tradition is a tradition that has become an end in itself. We just do it because we just do it. Because we can't remember, but we just do it. That's a bad tradition. A good tradition is a tradition of value because it points to something deeper. Something richer. A bad tradition wants to be the truth. A good tradition points to the truth. So does the tradition help you or hurt you? Does it remind you of good family values? Then do it. Is it a positive thing? Then keep it up. If people can't remember anymore why we do it that way, end it. Start anew. A good tradition will unite the family. A bad tradition will divide the family. I suggest you create a new tradition this year of some sort. What could it be? Could it be reading the Christmas story around the tree? Let me do that. Could it be a snow picnic outside with the kids? Could it be visiting patients at Valley View? We do that. Every year, maybe, could be singing to those same patients. Could be driving around looking at the lights. That's just your family tradition. Or enjoying a really special meal. Could could be your tradition. How about it? Create something new in your home. But make sure that our word of this morning, tradition, has a good heritage, has a good background, it has good meaning for what you're doing and why you're doing. Make sure the tradition at Christmas points to the Savior ultimately. Whatever it is that we do, we pull together, we do because it reminds us of Jesus, God with us. And think of it, this whole season celebration is a tradition. December 25th, not even the right day. It's a tradition to gather together and worship and praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And to put Him first and remember the gift of Jesus. Everything else should be secondary to Him. Tradition. Make it real in your home. Make it real in your heart this year. Put Him. Evaluate. Think it through. Make it fun. Make it special. Start something new. But do it ultimately to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, which the season and all its traditions really honor. Listen. Oh God, I want to thank you for the season. For all its very common traditions and personal traditions, family traditions. Some are very serious, others are very fun. And just help us, Lord, create things in our own family and our family life in the next couple of weeks that honor you first and foremost. That Jesus Christ, your Son, will be the one that we are celebrating about, that we are thinking about, and we are worshiping, and we are praising you. You are special today at Christmas because you came as a little child. The other stuff is fun and enjoyable and family-oriented and just good in many cases. But help us learn from some of the old traditions. It doesn't do any good if you can't remember what it was all about anymore. Review that. Maybe it tells us about your faithfulness, Father, in our lives, in our church, in our hearts. Thank you. Traditions can be fun. Good. They can also be wrong. Give us wisdom to know the difference. And whatever is celebrated, help us point it to you, to the real truth.